This is the third Tikkun Midrash year. Rabbarach.
Last night, you began sleepless. So I was there, and I was standing next to somebody in my row. There was a person that doesn't usually gather next to me, but for some reason he came into my room last night. I know from the shul, I know his name, I've spoken a few times here and there. And he began to say sleepless, it's an ashray. And we got to the beginning of the sleepless. And this individual burst out crying with tears and shaking and trembling. It was awesome. He's a young person in his 20s. Avreichim Kovel, very nice person. And it made a very deep impression on him. He was in the middle of Yom Kippur, and Leila, and then people actually were able to move themselves to tears on Yom Kippur. In the middle of learning Musa with his pilots. They're here at 12:30 at night after Shabbos. The first second of sleepless, this person just sits. Struck his heart. He's like the Shemaya, no question about it. But there's something about this individual. Just thinking about today, last night, the first book that occurred to me is Sefer Chaim. He's already written the Sefer Chaim. In fact, he moved himself, and the first Sefer Chuva resonated with him. There's such a Hatzlacha, such a Sefer Shemaya. So that's it. He's already written the Sefer Chaim. Another question, how do we explain such a phenomenon? How do you explain such conduct? As a human being. The question is it mystical? Yes, a mystical way about it. It's just Siyata de Shemaya. He learns Musaf 8 hours a day. His father is Hasidic Rebbe, I don't know what. Or is this a message? There's a method that everybody can do and follow and approach, and maybe we won't get to the Tshuva like even the first second of Slichus and first that crime, but maybe if we follow the method, we can approach. And his Oris, and his Pilus, and even Bechias, in the process of Tshuva, in the process of the Saracen and Tshuva, in the process of Yom Kippur, in the process of Kippur. So that's the question, is it mystical, or is there a method? There has to be a method. Shara Tshuva, we have a Simchas Hasharim. The Gemara in Brachos, in that Gimel tells us that the governor knows to say to fight a war. The king, this is fight a war. What did they do? It was a process, a protocol. First, they went to Achitofel, who was the magician, the military strategist. And he would size up the enemy, the terrain, make a plan, and the ambush, taxis, etc. And then they would go to Yehoyada ben Benayu, who was the half base, Sanhedrin. They asked for shoes, and the base, the Sanhedrin, and she prayed for them. And then to have Yasser, Kohen Gadol, he would tell them, consult the Rebbe Tumi, he would tell them that they would be Matzniach in the war or not. And after all that process, from David Melech's commands, the Achitofel strategy, to the Hoyada ben Benayu, the Sanhedrin, the Jews, the Tfilas, and then the Kohen Gadol, the Rebbe Tumi, to see if they're going to win or not win. Then to Yoav, the general, they would say, yes, okay, now go take the men and fight the war. The question is, Governor Melech is a man of God, he's a king. He's the king. He says, go fight a war. What do you mean by the general steps for? The Tofel, the Sanhedrin, he can still fight a war. He pushes the button, call up Yoav, and say, get the troops in there. Here we see a big decision, a very big decision. It has to do with fighting wars, it has to do with life. And it's a common misconception that many people make, myself included, that we think because we are who we are, and Hashem is who Hashem is, and we're the Jewish people, that sometimes we do things without a plan, without logic, because Hashem said to do it, and therefore it's going to work out without a strategy, and we just go forward in chaos. And we don't have to worry about the chaos and the lack of plan and no thought, because the Kadosh Baruch was with us, which He is. But that's not correct. Hashem doesn't want us to go without chaos, but that's not seichel. It's not human dignity. Human dignity has to be with a plan, with a strategy, even though the world says man plans and God lands. That's shepherd, that's not true. Hashem wants us to make a plan. But we have to understand that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the one to bring that plan into fruition, to bring that Hatzlacha. Asus Mukhan Liyomo Milchama Ulashem HaTeshuva. That's what Shlomo Melech said. You have the war ready, the Asus ready, and the battle plan ready, and then you rely on Hashem. But you got to make a plan. It's a very important soul. This applies to war or anything in life. You got to think very carefully, have a logical plan, a basis, api seichel, in order to have something logical and a foundation to go forward on, and then you leave the rest up to Hashem. Asus mukhan liyom ha-milchama ulashem ha-teshuva. That's what Shlomo Melech said. So now, we're in the war of tshuva, the war against the Yetzer Hara. This is a serious war. Everybody knows the Chazal, that it was some warriors that fought a real war, and they're coming back after they were victorious and they were having a feeling elated, and they met a great Muslim sage. He said, it's nothing. So now you have to fight the real war, the war of the Yetzer Hara. That's infinitely more difficult. I mean, imagine the Yetzer Hara, the Tachbulo Sov. He's a malach. Not just he's controlling the Astaiva, the person Astaiva's, and Yetzer. Tachbulo Sov. He has strategies. He's a malach. Can anybody play chess against the Yetzer Hara? What we do in move one, he's already up to move 1,000. And he has a person say this, and over there, and who knows what. You think this, you go there. You can't beat that. But, so we're in a war with the Yetzer Hara. So the same question, how are we going to win the war with the Yetzer Hara? Is it a mystery? Is it a segula? Or is it a method? So again, we have to say, it's a method. It's a method. And Rav Yisrael says clearly in letter Gimel, by the way, that it is a milchama, essentially, with the goof. You have to kovesh the goof, which means the eyes, to see what the eye should see, and to avoid what the eye should not see. And with the ear, and with the legs, and the mouth, to say, to speak menachas. It's all control of the external. That's the beginning of the war. To bring your feet to carry you to the base of Midrash, as opposed to places where you shouldn't be. They say that Rav Chaim Halevi one time traveled to a kenis And you know, those days traveling was traveling. You don't get on a plane and get there in 45 minutes. Travel, and comes in, the rabbis are there, the people in the kahal. As soon as he comes in, he hears a few words of Lashon Hora. I'm out of here. And he just walks out. So I'm looking at him. Subject my ears to Lashon Hora and left. That's it, left him. Control over all of the Avarim. Avram Avinu is Avarim. He's control of the Avarim. That's his name is Avram. He mastered all of his Avarim. This is the beginning of it. So yes, it's a war. And we need a strategy. We need a tachbula. We need an achitofel. A master magician to tell us how to fight the war. Because where do you begin? Where do you begin? Tell me. Cuba is a very big question. It's massive and it's overwhelming. And when we start to think about our past, it could be lead us to depression, which has to show has nothing to do with you. If something makes a person depressed, then it's us to think about it. So how do you do it? The tshuva is a very difficult portion. On the other hand, the goyim don't have tshuva, so what do they have? They have instant salvation, they have confession, and they can't get out of sin. They can't get out of sin. It's impossible, because they don't have the process of tshuva. We have the process of tshuva, we have the process of spiritual cleansing in the neshama, in the heart, and starting new. The Rebbe Yonah says, start new, that's it. You throw away your past and you start new. And you have a process. You have the four steps of tshuva. Which is in the Rambam. Leave the sin. Ziva sechet. Charata. And vidu apem. Etc. So, we have the process. But where do you begin? Which part of my life should I do tshuva for? And how many times did I try to do tshuva for that particular midah or a veva or a mitzvah? And last about 5 seconds, and then back to the same. Where's the progress? How come this guy stands next to me, sleepless night, and he says one word and burst out crying, and he's like an angel? He's the tzaddik, and I'm trying, and I'm davening, and I'm learning, and I'm working so hard, and I can't even get one tear in 20 years. So you have to have a method. And the beginning of the method is to know where to begin, where to put the emphasis. Yigeres Vav in Yor Yisrael brings two axioms. It says a lot of things, very, very good things. But he centers it on two axioms and then analyzes the axioms and applies it to tshuva, kippur, shana, certainly tshuva, many, many different ways, applications of our life. The first axiom is that the easier it is to avoid doing an avera, the greater the consequence if the person commits the avera. Again, very simple. The easier it is to avoid committing an avera, the greater the consequence if the person commits that avera. And, in the same light, the easier it is to do a mitzvah, the greater the consequence is if the person does not perform the mitzvah. So it comes out that the worst consequence, i.e. punishment, accountability, is for the easy stuff. For the mitzvahs, which are easy to do if we don't do them, or for the avers, which are easy to avoid if we do not avoid them. Those carry the heaviest accountability. Very deep concept. Explains two other sub-axioms. We don't need them out. We don't need to complicate it more than that. And then he turns it around and says something incredibly ingenious. Incredibly ingenious. Says the following. Therefore, it comes out, the most significant tshuva that we can do is for the easy stuff. By definition. Because since the greatest accountability is for the easy avarice, the avarice which are easy to avoid, then just The application is, the most significant tshuva that we can do is to avoid the easy avail. Picking up the pennies is the most significant tshuva we can do. And the ramifications of that, in this one and the next, particularly where the real accountability is something we can't even imagine. What we're saving ourselves, the consequences, the accountability, the punishment for picking up the pennies, we can't put into material terms. It's worth the whole world. But we've saved ourselves, the blessing that we brought upon ourselves, the deliverance, the refuah. This is an ingenious concept of Rebbe Yisroel. And the same thing with mitzvahs. The mitzvahs, which are easy to perform, but you're not performing, carry the greatest accountability. So if you can make a list and think about it, the easy mitzvahs, and it's subjective. What's for you may not be for him. What for me may not be for you. If you can get that list of easy mitzvahs, sit down with your family and do it. And yourself, and start to do those mitzvahs. So what happens? The smart you're going to get, and the accountability you're going to save yourself, is the most incommodious anchors that can be. The most significant. So, in conclusion, what am I saying? Where's the first place to start? Most people try to tackle the most difficult tikkun they can possibly make. They're going to now concentrate for every single word of Shmoneh Esrei. First, they say Shmoneh Esrei, they're going to space it out. And now they decide, this is their tikkun, they're going to concentrate for every single word of Shmoneh Esrei. Write it down in the short Esther tikkun, and start shachris, and come under the fire. Before they get to the word Baruch, they're already thinking about the makolet, taking the gun, what else would I do to finish? Because that's very difficult for them. Maybe for you it's easy. So the idea is easy. The cow. It's the obvious, easy thing. That's what we should be working on. The tshuva, I'm not going to, maybe next week we'll take it further, I don't know if this further applications, but first I want you to just show me the odds that you're thinking about in terms of a strategy, in terms of a plan, in terms of what we should be thinking about, in terms of what to handle, in terms of tshuva, to change our focus. Instead of thinking to tackle the most difficult, overwhelming thing which is going to knock you out anyway, exhaust you, but start with picking up the pennies. Because every one of those pennies is worth more than this entire world in terms of the ramifications of it in the next world and this world. Any questions up to now? What's the time? Just to share a little bit.
Isn't it certainly somewhat counterintuitive in the sense that as you conquer more and more of the small things and get into higher madrigas, your scar is going to come out with smaller hands?
The answer is. It is counterintuitive. It happens to be correct. But there's more axioms. I'll just throw out two of them. Number one is the hard things you can't do. There's certain hard things which the level of difficulty is so hard you can't do. Is it humanly possible? Yes. To have kavanah for every word of Shmoneh Esrei, is it humanly possible? Yes. For you? Yes, it's possible. The chances of it happening are very slim. So it's very difficult. So how are you going to get there? The answer is, there's two ways to get there. You can change yourself into the tzaddik overnight. Is that possible? Absolutely. You can change yourself to the tzaddik overnight, particularly during your seri dimitri. Yes, you can. So what we do is we take both paths. We'll talk about more next week, but I just want to answer the kids here. Yes, you have to have that goal also, to change yourself overnight to be the tzaddik. You can't handle even the hard parts. So even though, here's the beauty of it, even though in terms of the ramifications of what you save yourself from, the accountability is less because it's hard, but the scar is greater because it's hard. That's one answer. The second answer is, if you take the easy step-by-step method, because your perception or your spiritual level, you're not holding it, you can take that quantum leap. So the step-by-step method is eventually going to give you enough spiritual muscles and self-conditioned mind to be able to handle the heart.
Could we have a working definition of tshuva? If we're always going to be off the mark, certain things we're not going to achieve. Those people that can't achieve the quantum leap, or if we're taking even a slower path, what's the tshuva? What's the definition of tshuva?
In this context or in general? Because my context is very specific.
I don't know which question.
Tshuva means, the simplest term I can put it, is to stop doing the avera.
Stop doing
the avera, or start doing the mitzvah.
That's two different things.
Well, either one. It's both tshuva. If a person doesn't say Kriyat Shema Olamita, which is a mitzvah, right? So then, if he starts to do it,
so he's doing tshuva.
Yeah, because he's stopping the avera of not doing it.
Doesn't matter what other things he's doing. He's doing tshuva.
Yeah.
He's doing that one thing.
For that one thing. Okay.
No.
The simplest way for us to understand tshuva is to stop doing the avera or start doing the mitzvah that you haven't been doing before. That's the beginning of it. It's action. Tshuva is action. That's why it has to do with the body. Guarding the eyes, the mouth, doing the right thing, walking to the base measures. It's action. Mm-hmm. Either doing or not doing. In other words, avoiding the avera or doing the mitzvah. Yes.
That's a more basic definition. The definition of the word tshuva is to return to Hashem by not doing the very sort of way we do.
Okay. By doing the correct deed, you return to Hashem. Can everybody here, because I want to start to work with the group as a group, which means sharing. I'd like everybody here to tell me, for them, you can repeat what somebody else says, but for you, take a second to think about it. One easy answer. Or one easy avera to avoid. Either way.
That one's not doing it. That one is over.
That one is not doing it. Correct. And believe me, whatever you say, it's going to help me and anybody else in this room. He couldn't put a keeper on and go to work. He just couldn't do it. So he came up with the idea to put on tzitzis because nobody saw the tzitzis. And that he did. And that moved him to the next step. Once he did that, he was able to climb up the ladder. Anybody else?
Not mumble brachas.
Not mumble brachas. Very, very cool. Basic, how many brachas do we make a day?
Mumble counts or no?
We'll find out. We'll find out what all this is. It counts. Just the words are, the words have a co-op in the room. How much meaning is it? I give an answer.
Sorry?
I give an answer sometimes to have to go for the first word of Shema Esra, the Baruch. Concentrate on Baruch. Start with that. Sometimes I give an answer to help one to learn Shema Esra, it's to concentrate on the first word as well. Broke down more than 50% of the Shema Esra that's in the Bible. It's about the Bible that's in the Bible. So we have senses, and we have taking some more care of the purpose that else we have. Something else, something is missing. So, find the
end. We're specifically looking for things that we are in need to show on right now.
Yes.
I heard being on time for davening.
It's easy.
Okay, let me turn it the other way around. Not being late for davening.
But is that easy? It's subjective. There's something that's very difficult.
Not mixing milk and meat. So that's easy. Something easy that we're not doing. If we were doing it, it would be really easy. I said not mixing milk and meat.
Doing.
I hope so. I hope I would be on time for davening too, but I didn't do that. So anything that would, by definition, that we're not doing is probably not so easy. If that's the case, then what we're not doing is not easy.
Not necessarily true.
So we have to find out what's easy, what's not easy.
I have a list.
What?
I have a list in my house of 100 easy mixtures, and easy there is to do.
That people aren't doing. Wait, but that people aren't doing.
A few examples.
All the examples to come.
I'm not saying not to get angry, but
that's a lot.
That's
a lot. Let's pick something so simple. Kiss the missus? You come and kiss the missus.
That's not a missile.
That's a Rambam. That's like, the question is whether that's considered to be like something that one has to chew on.
Because it's not doing it. You have awareness of the, what is it? It's giving you awareness of the mitzvah of mezuzah. What's over the mitzvah? Certainly mitzvah. The mitzvah is there for purpose.
You just look at it.
It's a mitzvah. Having awareness of mezuzah.
Absolutely.
Every time you walk in?
Well, the actual application
5%,
should be something which you're comfortable with. Like, uh-huh. It should be once a day or whatever. You have to desire to suit yourself.
But it's an advancement. It's an advancement. Have awareness of the music.
How about
better awareness of the music?
How can you make it to the shul? Furthermore, there's a fact of the shul in another city in the States and took a poll and put it in points. And it says, take the poll and take a step of it. So he feeds and he gives everybody opportunity. I think he has plenty of it, but you've all got a chance to be easy mistakes about it. And isn't it beautiful idea? So it comes up, you're also training yourself into the room. I mean, it's nothing easy. It's easy. It's a fantastic idea. And Israel says that you divide everything into difficult and easy. Every mitzvah has easy parts and difficult parts. And we have to learn how to find these things. Let me give you an example. Learning Musa and changing Musa. To learn Musa is easy. Relatively. And you can sit down and pick up a Musa say, to change yourself and get rid of the class, that's difficult. You say, I can't do Musa anymore. I'm still screaming at my wife. That might be true. But to pick up a Musa book on a regular basis, you can't do it. Think about it. You have to get some ideas of easy mitzvahs. Next thing I want to work on the following point. You should think about also easy mitzvahs because it's very important. Especially in the light of the fact that the accountability is at stake. The most serious accountability you save yourself by coming up with these easy mitzvahs. And here's something. Is everybody here married? Married? When Yitzhak Putin in the 70s, there was a hijacker. If you remember, planes were hijacked, taken to Jordan. Yitzhak Putin was on a plane. You heard about it? Imagine it. You're going elderly. And his mom was just a cut, and the Arabs with the rabbi, and he gets hijacked, which is not a favorable situation to be in. So, when they were on the planes, in the state of tremendous sakana. So, back in America, Yaakov Kamenetsky was really worried about his friend, his father, who was a good one. And during that course of time, that evening, Rabbitson, Kamenetsky made a special dinner. She made a special peplach soup, which she served it to her husband. And he looked at it and he said, I can't eat such a delicacy when my chaver is in Sakhan. I can't even look at it. I'd love to eat it, but I can't sleep with it. I can't eat it. So his wife said, you know what? Put it in the freezer. Freeze it. And when Hashem saves him, we'll bring it to him and we'll eat it together. So it's all the kachim, he was saved miraculously. And the Hamanetsky showed up in his house with Kaplach soup, had a soup together. Again, that feeling, that empathy. And Regish, and the Yaakov Kamenetsky, and his wife, how she felt for his pain. He could have been insulted and made the soup. And she could have came together and brought such sensitivity. Is that mystical? Is that romantic? It's years of work. Years of work, years of wisdom, years of tefillah, years of development. They say there's a new book out in Martin called The Soul and the City of Sunni, the Foundation of Marriage. It brings their source. It says how husband and wife interrelate, that reflects on Hashem and makes the pleasure. But Hawaii, speak to my wife, it turns out Hashem affects bodies for us, because we're a microcosm. So the person insults his wife, it affects the cosmos. It affects how Hashem relates to Christ very directly. But he's nice to his wife and pleasant. Hashem will put the blessing and the goodness on Christ directly. So the puller, they want to talk about for the coming week. Very simple. Today is Sunday, so it's Sunday's gone. But starting tomorrow, every day, do one easy kindness or favor or pleasant word say to your wife. Something easy. Get up in the morning and say, I love you, you're beautiful today, or think about washing a dish, or wash a dish. Think of something from before, but let her know what she did. Or she's sitting down to make herself a cup of coffee, offer her a cup of coffee. She won't know what happened to you, but show consideration. Something easy. Back to that formula, easy. Show extra sensitivity kindness to one. One thing. Back to kindness. Any questions about that? Is that doable? Is it easy? Is it easy? Maybe it's not. If it must, it'd be easy. Anybody have any easy mixes of this context?
To recommend tracking it, keeping a chart.
Excellent. Every day, write down. You can plan in advance tonight what you can do tomorrow. And right, that's an excellent. Because on the web, running, moving, you might not have time to think to do better than before, or down, drop it, you know, your wife likes it, she didn't like it. And you're going to see an immediate, not even doing it for this reason, you're going to see an immediate reciprocation. Okay. Any questions on that? Comments? Suggestions? We asked you to be able to be in the end of the discussion, we talked about the pool of power, and the shelter should use it to remind yourself to be
not missing.
How did that work?
Well,
four out of seven, that's great.
4 out of 7, you remember to think about that? 4 out of 7, you learned Musa. Extra massage. I have extra massage.
Anybody else? What for you?
Well, again, as I said last week, I worked for this time for 3 days.
Okay. That's great. Just so that he's sure. This is Jesus' eighth. Okay. So, the pool is, I'd like to keep that here going, because we have the opportunity now to show from that will keep that going. And small, kind, favorite, pleasant word, you want to. How much time do you have? That's it? 2 minutes?
Yeah.
The concept of a vibe, I didn't really explain. Just walking here in this. Yeah. I'm showing this to talking about Chuba, and a vibe is much more than just saying a few words of this one. basically just starting to get to know the room, and it's a very important thing to grow together and to work on this. So as you get to progression, progress and share together what the people accomplish, taking with us and the Wright brothers flew. You know that the journalists want to report it? You know about this? When the Wright brothers flew the first flight, hitting off, the American journalists did not want to report it. You know why? Because the thinking was, birds were made to fly, not men. And, you know, Christian people, they couldn't accept it. It's sacrilegious. Why am I saying that? Because we are with this frontier of mastering the inner self. What's that point? Hashem sent us to Israel, Mamash and Ur. And the few words they wrote, such profound, not such tools, such wisdom, and change the self. So we hope to share together, to show you the tools, and how to use the tools, how to implement the wisdom. And hopefully we'll touch and make progress and take a minute together, because the ultimate word is there. What one person can accomplish is always questioned. But a group together is no limitation. This was the concept of the Israel fight. A group of God working together, focusing on taking the leaders, but the knowledge never taking the leaders. The person of knowledge changed himself to a different person. And the other comment I want to make is, although the world thinks of God is, and when it's come, when we think about it, say, support you for a counseling session, counseling, it might be important, you might be able to say, no, it's good. But it's nothing to do with what they think of this world is talking about. His view is to design and provide and all of us to grow is non-confrontation. Non-invasive. It is sharing, grouping together, speaking about specific things, and developing such understanding of the human being that it's like you wouldn't understand how that process is actually making the change. But he's the captain. And we can explain. But I'm not going into detail. We can explain how exactly, theoretically, it can make a change, and it does make a change. But it's important that as we go along with the opportunity to delve into what he says and see exactly how the structures of the content of the actual working together in the teaching.
Thank you.
How's it going?